Gospel of John, if you will, chapter 8. Gospel of John, chapter 8 this morning. And help me, if you will. Ask God to help me as I try to preach this morning. My throat was getting a little sore during Sunday school class, but I believe God can help us out this morning if you'll pray. God will, I believe He will. And John chapter 8, let's look here, if you would, in verse 25. Give you time to turn there, if you will, John chapter 8. We're going to be returning to different verses in John, the Gospel of John this morning, but we're going to focus our attention here on John chapter 8. And we'll try to preach a message to you this morning about truth. And we'll see this here in God's Word, if you will. John chapter 8, let's begin reading in verse 25. The Bible says, "Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, Even this saying that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say to you. I have many things to say and to judge of you. But he that sent me is true. And I speak the world these things which I have heard of him. Then they understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." Well, just stop for a minute. That's a wonderful saying there. What Jesus Christ said here in verse 29, "For I do always those things that please him." That would keep us out of a lot of trouble if we do that. Just do those things that please the Lord. We won't have to go to bed at night and confess our sins if we'll just do those things that's pleasing to the Lord. But look here, if you would, and I believe it is in verse 30, he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue my words, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Let's continue reading verse 33. The Bible says, "They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and we never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, Ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Notice what it says here in verse 32. The Bible says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, help our hearts now. God, you know all that we need in our hearts this morning. There might be someone lost and known without Jesus that needs to be saved. And Father, I can't save them. This church can't save them. God, our deacons and trustees can't save them. But God, your Spirit and your blood can wash away their sins and make them a new creature in Christ Jesus. God, your precious life can give them everlasting life. And Father, I pray, God, this morning, not only for those who are lost, but God, for us that are saved by thy amazing grace. Father, I pray, God, this morning, you'll speak to our hearts about this truth and how, God, we should be engaged in the truth. And God, what the truth does for everyone. Lord, help us not only to be in the truth, but to know the truth. And Father, we love you and we need you now. In Christ Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Look at verse 32, if you will, one more time. The Bible says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I want you to notice how many times the word truth is mentioned here in this chapter. It's mentioned twice here in verse 32. Look at verse 40, if you will. The Bible says, "But ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham." Here God says, "I'm telling you the truth." Jesus said, "I'm speaking the truth to you." And in verse 44, notice what the word of God says. "And ye are your father's the devil, and the lust of your fathers will ye do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Here God says, "I'm going to speak the truth to you." And then he tells us that the truth is not in the devil. The devil will never tell you the truth. The devil will tell you it's all right to do what you want to do. The devil will tell you it's all right to engage in sin. The devil will tell you it's all right to go ahead and do whatever you want to do. But my friend, there's no truth in the devil. He is a liar and the father of it. He is a deceiver. He is the one that accuses us to God, my friend, night and day. He is old Lucifer. He's old Satan. He's old serpent that beguiled Eve, my friend. There's nothing good about the devil. Notice here, if you would, in verse 45. "And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not." Here Jesus said, "I'm going to tell you the truth, beloved, but you won't believe it." Notice what it says here in verse 46. "Which you convict me of sin, and if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? Here the truth is mentioned again. It's mentioned over and over and over here in John chapter 8, my friend. I want you to notice what the Webster's Dictionary of Truth, the definition of truth, it says a fact or reality, a exact accordance with that which is or has been or shall be. Here the truth is a fact. The truth is something that's real. The truth is something, my friend, you can say, you can take it to the bank because it's reliable. It's always going to be true. And here Jesus said, hey, I'm going to speak the truth to you. Hey, God always speaks the truth. We live in a day and age where people don't want to hear the truth. We live in a day and an age where the president of the United States can get up there and say something that's not the truth. He can lie to you. And then get in the presidency office, my friend, and do exactly the opposite of what he's told you, and there's nothing that's going to be done about it. We live in a day and age where preachers and pastors stand behind the pulpit and they preach something that is not the truth, and people still believe them. We live in a time and age where people do not want to hear the truth. That people do not want to hear that they're sinners on the way to a devil's hell. People does not want to hear the truth about marriage, how the husband is head of the wife, and husband should be the leader of the home, and the husband is responsible for being the spiritual leader of the house. The world does not want to hear the truth where it says a wife's responsibility is still to keep the house. My friend, we live in a time and age where men's got to work and women's got to work, but there's still responsibility and there's still roles in the marriage where the husband is the head of the home and the wife is the heart of the home and the children should be obedient to their mamas and daddies. And my friend, we live in a time and age where we don't want to hear the truth that a Christian should be accountable and should be responsible for being in God's house every time the doors is open. We don't want to hear the truth. Where's your responsibility as a born-again believer to take God's word to a lost and dying world and tell them about sin and tell them about Savior and tell them about salvation, my friend? We live in a time and age where people does not want to hear the truth, my friend, that when you get married, it should be one man for one woman for one lifetime, my friend. We don't want to hear the truth where, my friend, the Bible says that you're a God robber if you don't bring your tithe into the storehouse. We don't want to hear the truth where the Bible says all the ungodly and all the unrighteous and all the murderers and fornicators and adulterers and adulteresses will not enter to the kingdom of God unless they get saved by God's amazing grace. We live in a time and age where people don't want to hear the truth, my friend, that what you've done yesterday for God will not suffice for today. What we used to do for God will not satisfy God for today, that we still should be living for God today. My friend, I'm the type of preacher that wants to tell you the truth. I'm the type of preacher that wants to preach God's word. And I'm not afraid of the truth. And the Bible says that God is truth. There's no lie in him. He cannot tell a lie, my friend. The Bible says that our God cannot lie. Twice it's written in God's word that God cannot lie. Whatever you find in God's word, you can take it to the bank. It's true, my friend. For you that's suffering this morning, God says, I'll never leave thee. I'll never forsake thee. That's something you can depend on this morning. That's something that's truth this morning, my friend. Hey, for you that's lost a loved one, that's dying and gone on before you, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with God. For the child of God to leave this tabernacle of flesh, to drop off out of this world, is to go up to a place called heaven and be with Jesus Christ forever, my friend. Hey, I want you to know something. The truth says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. He's coming again in the casket or the clouds, but he's coming again to receive us into himself, that where he is, there we may be also. Here the truth is in God. You want to know the truth about the world? You look in the Bible. You want to know the truth about man? You look in the Bible. You want to know the truth about how to be a good godly mother or a good godly father? Hey, Oprah Winfrey and Phil, my friend, and all of them, Dr. Phil's not going to help you on how to be a godly mother and how to be a godly father. But you get in God's word and you learn the truth of God, and he's going to help you, my friend. You want to learn how to be a good wife. You want to learn how to be a good husband. You get in God's word, and God's word will show you what you should do for your spouse and how you should love your spouse. You should love them even as Christ has loved the church and gave himself for it. My friend, you want to learn how to live a Christian life? Don't look at anybody else, but look at Jesus. He'll show you. He's an example for all of us to follow. Notice the truth in verse 44 is not in the devil. The Bible says here, ye are your father's the devil, and the lust of your father will ye do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. You know, people, if you're here this morning, I want you to know there's no truth in the devil. You know what the devil will tell you? The same thing the devil told me. Hey, go ahead and take that one drop of beer. It's not going to hurt you. Just go ahead and socialize with your friends and go ahead and give in to peer pressure and go ahead and drink that one can of beer or go ahead and take that one shot of liquor. It's not going to affect you. It's not going to hurt you. Go ahead and take that one puff of marijuana. Go ahead and smoke that one blunt. Go ahead and smoke that reefer. It's not going to hurt you. It's not going to affect you. Go ahead and take that one pill. Go ahead and have sex before marriage, because everybody's doing it. It's not going to affect you. My friend, when I was in high school, you know what I heard? I heard a girl cannot get pregnant the first time she had sex. Hey, that's a straight lie from the devil. When I was in high school, I heard you go ahead and take these pills. Everybody's doing it. You can have a good time like the rest of us. Just go ahead and pop these pills. It's going to give you a good time. It'll give you a great time, my friend, until you open your eyes up in hell one day and realize there's no way out. Hey, someone told me, hold, go ahead and take this one draw of a cigarette. Hey, it won't get you addicted. It won't get you stuck on it. Hey, just go ahead and take one puff, my friend. I want you to know there's no truth in the devil. The devil's a liar. The devil's a deceiver. The devil's a roaring lion walking about who you may devour. Hey, the devil's not your friend this morning. Hey, I want to tell you this morning, I want to be your friend. I want to preach the truth to you. But if you're not going to hear the truth, then you're going to have to follow the devil, and you have to give ear to the devil and do what old Satan wants you to do. Here, God says he's the truth. But there's no truth in the devil. I want to try to preach this message to you, Lord willing, the truth. The truth. Look at verse 32. The Bible says that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Notice these two words, truth and free. Truth and free. Truth brings freedom. Truth brings freedom. But when I was lost, the same way you was lost, I tried everything in the world to be free. But I tried everything in the world to be satisfied. I tried everything in the world had to offer, my friend, because I was looking for something that I did not have. If you're lost here this morning, you don't know who Christ is or your Savior, you can relate to this, you can realize this is true, there's something in your life missing. You say, preacher, what is it? You need to be set free. You need to be set free from sin. You need to be set free from the penalty of sin. I want you to notice, my friend, the truth will make you free from the penalty of sin. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, my friend. Hey, because of one man's sin, enter into the world and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. I want you to notice that we're all sinners, my friend, by birth. We're all sinners by choice. And because we have this sin, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. The Bible says in the book of Ezekiel, I believe it is, let me look real quick, Ezekiel chapter 18. The Bible says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. It's repeated twice for us in Ezekiel chapter 18. The soul that sinneth, it shall die, my friend. Look at this, if you will. I want you to notice what it says here in verse 34. The Bible says, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. My friend, today, if you commit sin, you're the servant of sin. Preacher Scott, what does that mean? My friend, if you sin, you got to sin again. If you tell one lie, you know what you got to do? You got to tell another lie to cover up that lie. You got to tell another lie to cover up them two lies. You got to tell another lie to cover those three lies. You got to tell another lie to cover those four lies. And my friend, I want you to notice something. Once you tell a lie, the Bible says you're a liar. How many times does a person have to steal before he's a thief? One time. How many times does a person got to lie to be a liar? One time. How many times does a person got to drink a can of beer to be a drunk? One time. Here the Bible says, in verse 34, Jesus answered to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. You know why you got to keep on sinning? Because you're a servant of sin. You're in bondage, my friend. You're captured by the devil, and there's nothing you can do about it. Boy, I hate to be in this world and know someone like the devil has control over my mind and have control over my body, has control over every step I take, has control over everything my hands touch. Hey, my friend, the Bible says that if you commit sin, you're the servant of sin. But what will the truth do? The truth, my friend, will bring you to the reality that Christ will make you free from the penalty of sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The only way to be saved, the only way to be set free, the only way to be satisfied is to come to Jesus and be set free from sin, but be a servant to Christ. Here the Bible says, He that committeth sin is a servant of sin. You know, that's why at one time you was able to drink one beer and that was all right. The next time you had to drink two beers. The next time you had to drink three or four beers. The next time you had to drink five or six beers and chase it down with a shot of liquor, a shot of whiskey. Hey, my friend, you just got to keep adding more and more and more and more sin to be satisfied. But hey, thank God, once you get to Jesus Christ and Christ forgive your sins, He satisfied your soul, and you don't have to go back to be satisfied again. You just have to remember that He that lives within you is greater than he that's in the world. Hey, my friend, we got to realize we have a great God. We have an all-sufficient God. We have a perfect Savior this morning. What will the truth do? The truth will set you free from the penalty of sin. But notice verse 32. The Bible says that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's more than just knowing the truth. Beloved, if you're here today, it's more than just knowing John 3:16. It's just more than carrying a King James Bible up under your hand. It's just more than wearing a necktie and jacket to church. It's just more than have your name on the membership roll, my friend. Hey, the Bible says, ye shall know the truth, and then the truth shall make you free. It's more than just knowing the Bible. It's having a personal relationship. It's having a personal experience. It's having a Savior, my friend, which name is Jesus Christ. It's more than just coming to church that makes you saved. God bless all the visitors we have. Got two young men over here, thank God for you. Got some visitors here in the middle, thank God for you. Got a lady here visiting with us, thank God for you. Got members all in God's house, hey, thank God for you. But I want to tell you something. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're going to go straight to hell when you die. The Bible says you shall know the truth. It's more than just knowing John 3:16. It's having John 3:16 in your heart. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you know you're saved this morning? You know you're set free from the penalty of sin this morning? The truth makes us free from the penalty of sin. Because the penalty of sin is you've got to die and go to a place called hell. And there's no way to escape. There's no way out of it. There's no way to heaven, my friend. In your own self, on your own merit, on your own good works, no matter how good you can sing, no matter how good you can read, no matter how much money you give to this church, no matter how many good works you do, my friend, if you're not saved, your good works, my friend, is just a filthy rag in the sight of God. The Bible says one day, all those who are lost and known without Jesus, they're going to bring their bags to God. And the Bible says their bags are going to be full of holes. And one day they're going to get to God and say, God, I want you to look at all my good works. I want you to look at the Sunday school classes I taught, and the times I sung in the choir, and the times I went on visitation, and the times I helped the pastor, and all the money that I gave, and every time I read my Bible, and every time I prayed. And God, I want you to look at all my good works. And my friend, if you're not saved, your good works are going to be placed in a bag that's full of holes, and God's going to look at it, and He's going to see absolutely nothing. Friend, I beg you today, if you're not saved, get saved. I don't know when Christ is coming back, but He's coming back. It could be today. It could be before we get back to service tonight. This might be your last chance to receive Christ as your Savior. I wouldn't wait till I got through preaching. I wouldn't wait till the invitation starts playing. If you know you're lost and you need to be saved, you need to come and slouch at His altar and ask God to forgive your sins and beg God to save you today. My friend, I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to tell you today that if you ask God to save you, He will. But the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I tell you this, if you play around with God, God's not going to take you serious. You come down this altar popping your bubble gum and worrying about what your friends think, God ain't going to take you serious. You come to this altar this morning and ask God to forgive your sins, repent of the sins. You turn from the sins and turn to God. Hey, God starts taking you serious then. And then when you call on the name of Jesus Christ, the Bible says He'll save you to the uttermost. He'll make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. The Bible says, hey, He'll make something wonderful out of you. He'll make something new out of you. He'll make you a child of God this morning. My friend, do you know the truth? Are you living in the truth? Let me ask you this, is the truth living in you? Do you have Christ living in you this morning? Not only does the truth make you free from the penalty of sin, but the truth also makes you free from the power of sin. I want you to notice this, if you will, in John chapter 14. Turn, if you will, to John chapter 14. in your Bibles this morning, John chapter 14. Notice what the Word of God says here in John chapter 14 and verse 6. It's a familiar verse with all of us. I know we all know it, but let's look at it anyway. In John chapter 14, verse 6, notice what Jesus said here. Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Here Jesus said, I want you to know something. I'm the truth. I'm the truth this morning. Hey, do you know Christ as your Savior this morning? The Bible says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth, the truth, the truth shall make you free. And Jesus said, hey, I am the truth. So if you get set free this morning, it's going to be because of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah for everlasting life. Hallelujah for being saved by God's amazing grace. Hey, hallelujah that we can know that we're saved and we can know we're on our way to heaven. The Bible says in John, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 15, these things have I written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Hey, my friend, I know I got eternal life this morning. I know I'm saved this morning, not by how good I look and not by how good I act and not how about good I sing, but I'm saved this morning because I trusted in the truth. I placed my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And he set me free from the penalty of sin. And you get saved by God's grace. He sets you free from the power of sin. My friend, if it wasn't for him, we'd just keep on sinning and lying and cheating and stealing and everything else. But thank God once he saves you, he comes and lives in you and gives you the power you need to live for him. I want you to notice this, if you would, in John chapter 1. Same book, chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 14. Notice what God's word said here. The Bible says here in John chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Once again for you, in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, and verse 14, let's notice it together. The Bible says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, my friend. I want you to notice the first part. The Bible says, and the Word was made flesh. Hey, the Word was made flesh. You see this Bible holding my hand. It's not just some ordinary book. It's not just some book to be laid in the back of your car, your dashboard. It's not some book to be swept up under your bed when you got company come over. This book, my friend, is not something to be embarrassed about. I remember Brother Robert Goss. I hope everybody still remember him. You know Brother Robert? He's in heaven today. I don't think he'll mind me saying this. Brother Robert couldn't read real good. He had enough of schooling. He had enough of common sense to be able to write his name out on a piece of paper. But that was all Brother Robert can do. He couldn't read. He could follow along with you. He could quote Bible verses. He could just about sing every song in the red hymn book. But Brother Robert couldn't read. I remember going to his house when Sister Bertha was sick, and I remember going to his house when he was sick, and he had a favorite chair he liked to sit in, and right beside his favorite chair, he had a nightstand or a side table, and on that side table, he had his old King James Bible sitting beside him. Go to his house, and every once in a while, he'd just put it in his lap and rub it and caress his Bible and just hold it up close to his breast. And my friend, every time you go in his house, his Bible is always beside him. His Bible is always sitting beside him. He couldn't read his Bible, but he knew there was something important about God's Word. He knew there was something different about God's Word. He knew it was something not to be hid, but something to be displayed. Hey, with a flag on the wall and a Bible on the table, we've got to let people know that we're Christians and we're trusting in God's Word. And God's Word, my friend, it will set you free from the power of sin. My wife has got a bookshelf right beside our television set. You know what she got on that bookshelf? Every one of the children's Bible. You see it. There's about 20 Bibles. About 20 Bibles, Tiffany, on that bookshelf. That bookshelf is sitting right beside the TV. Every time we see the TV and we know something's not appropriate on TV, somebody say one cuss word, it's time to turn it. A man and woman start smooching, it's time to turn it. A commercial come on TV that's trying to sell lingerie, it's time to turn it. A man come on TV dragging one of them Bud Dumbers and say, have a high life, hey, it's time to turn it. And every time we watch TV, every time we see something on TV that reproaches the name of Christ, that, my friend, disgraces the name of Christ, we look and we see them Bibles and we realize who we're living for. We're not living for self. We're not living for this world, but we're living for God, my friend. Hey, I want you to know something. If you've got a problem this morning, you're saved by God's grace, but you've got a problem with sin. You've got a problem with your eyes. You've got a problem with your ears. You've got a problem with your tongue. You've got a problem where your feet go. You've got a problem with your hands, my friend. Hey, I want you to know something. You can find your power that you need, my friend, to live for Jesus, and it's only in God's word. The truth not only sets you free from the penalty of sin, but the truth sets you free from the power of sin. You know the reason I don't curse no more? Not because someone told me not to curse. Well, Preacher Larry told me a lot of things. He did tell me, Brother James, not to curse. When I got saved and opened up God's word, I've read in God's word where I should be living for Jesus. And that made me not curse. You know why I don't smoke cigarettes no more? Preacher Larry told me many times not to smoke cigarettes. But you know the reason I do it? Because I know I'm living for Jesus. You know the reason I don't drink beer no more? Because I'm living for Jesus. You know the reason I don't steal no more? Hey, 8 years ago, you wouldn't even let me around this offering plate. 8 years ago, you wouldn't even give me a key to this church. Hey, I would have robbed you blind. I would have stole the offering. I would have stole the cars. I would have stole the sound machines. I would have stole this pulpit. I would have stole anything I could get my arms on. But you know what's different this morning? It's God's amazing grace. It's God's power, my friend, that set me free from the power of sin. I want you to notice this, if you will. Well, you get with me now. Help me. Turn to John chapter 12 this morning. John chapter 12. I'm not going to let you go this morning until you start having a good time. So y'all start having a good time. Here in John chapter 12. Notice what God's word says here in John. Not John chapter 12. I'm sorry. John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Let's turn there. It's all good anyway. It don't matter where you read. It's all right. Let's look here, if you would, in John chapter 16. In John chapter 16, notice what it says here in verse 12. John 16 and verse 12. The Bible says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Notice what it says here in verse 12 again. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. When God's Spirit entered into your life, the moment you got saved, you was baptized into the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwelt within you, my friend. And now you got the Holy Spirit. You're saved by God's grace. You got the Holy Spirit, and he leads you and guides you into all truths. What's that mean? When you're about to mess up and sin, you know the Holy Spirit says no. When somebody makes you mad, and you're about to fly off the handle and call them every name in the Webster's Dictionary. You're about to fly off the handle and you're about to do something you're going to regret tomorrow. You've got that Holy Spirit within you, my friend. And that Holy Spirit says, that's not right. My wife does something every week to make me mad. And I want to get back even. We got the Holy Spirit says, that ain't how a Christian should live. Y'all ought to forget it. Forgive her. Love her. Forget about it. Your neighbors look outside and call your names for being a Christian. And you want to retaliate and get it back at them. The Holy Spirit says, that's not right. When you're sitting down and watching TV with your family and something comes on, the Holy Spirit of God says, hey, stop it. That's not right. When you lay out of church on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, the Holy Spirit comes along every once in a while and says, hey, that's not right. You need to be in church. Every once in a while, the Holy Spirit allows somebody to come and brush across your shoulder and tell you within your heart, hey, you ought to give them a gospel tract and be a witness and tell them about me, tell them about Jesus. And we just go on and take another step to get away from them. The Holy Spirit tells you that's not right. My friend, you don't have to have a preacher to tell you what sin is. You got the Holy Spirit to tell you what sin is. And of course, I'm going to keep preaching on it. You keep coming, I'm going to try my best, my friend, to preach on something you're doing. I want to make you as mad as a hornet so you'll get right with God. But I want to tell you something, the truth, my friend, the Bible. Reagan, let me hold your Bible. This Bible, my friend, it sets you free from the penalty of sin, but it sets you free from the power of sin. If you got a problem this morning, you get in God's Word and you start reading the blessed Bible. You start reading God's Word this morning, my friend, and it will give you the power to put whatever down that you need to put down. It's going to give you the power to live the Christian life, my friend. I want you to know something. Hey, there's power. There's power in the precious book of Jesus Christ. My friend, you get your stuff a little bit, okay? Sleep right there. Pages everywhere. Hey, she's taking notes. God bless you for taking notes. You know what's going to help this young girl? When a good-looking young boy comes up to her and say, Reagan, I love you. I want you to be my girlfriend. Her Holy Spirit going to say, Reagan, that's not the right one. That's not the right one, Reagan. Well, somebody come up to Reagan and say, Reagan, I love you, and I want to be your friend. And if you love me, then you'll do this, and you'll let me do that. Hey, the Holy Spirit say, hey, Reagan, he's not for you. He don't love you. Don't listen to him. The devil's a liar. The devil's a liar, but God is truth. Not only will the truth set you free from the penalty of sin, the power of sin, but it also sets you free from the provocation of sin. What do you mean, preacher? It sets you free from the pressure of sin. One day, folks, I want you to know this world's going to be all over and we'll be in heaven. Every time the devil ever done anything wrong to you today, anytime the devil ever comes by you and say, you don't have to do this and you don't have to do that. Hey, one day, beloved, Christ is going to come back and get us to be with him, and we're going to be set free from the very presence of sin, every sin in this world. I want to tell you, my friend, this morning, I've got scars on my body from when I was a younger boy. I got scars on my body for things I've done when I was a little boy that I wish I would have never done them. I've got scars in my mind, things I cannot forget, things that always comes around and comes around and comes around. Here I am, a preacher, singing in church, preaching God's Word, teaching Sunday school class, and then things come around in my mind. You know what I'm talking about. Things you saw when you was younger, things you heard when you was in sin, things you done you wish you would have never done. But one day, hallelujah, we'll be in heaven. And all the very presence of sin will be gone. The scars on my body is going to be gone. The holes I have in my ears is going to be gone. The scars I have in my mind is going to be gone. My friend, I want you to know the truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. And when the truth comes back and gets us to be with him, we're going to believe the very presence of sin. I'm excited about heaven, beloved. Hey, I got friends there. Hey, last Sunday night, Brother Jeff, I believe it was last Sunday night, Brother Jeff preached a message about how Philip preached Jesus. He preached unto him Jesus. Hey, and Brother Jeff started talking about heaven. Hey, he done a wonderful job talking about heaven. I can't wait to get there, my friend. Not because of my friends that's there, and not because of my family that's there, and not because of other people that's there, my friend, but hey, because my Savior's there. Because my Savior's there. I never thought about this, but Brother Jeff mentioned it to me last Sunday night. He said, we'll be in heaven. And we may go to the Apostle Paul and shake his hand and say, Paul, it's good to meet you. I read all your books in the Bible. And I read all your messages you preached. Oh, hold on, Paul. I believe there's Jesus. Yeah, you go ahead, Paul. And he goes straight to Jesus. Abraham, you'll see Abraham there. You say, Abraham, hey, I read all kinds of stories about you, how you helped the children of Israel and how God used you in a mighty way. But Abraham, I want to, hold, Abraham, I see Jesus. I'm going to go talk to Jesus. Hold on, Abraham. Hey, my friend. Hey, the greatest thing about heaven is not all the apostles and all the disciples and all the men of God. The greatest thing about heaven is not that your mom and dad is there and your sons and daughters is there. The greatest thing about heaven is not that your family is there and your friends is there. The greatest thing about heaven this morning is our Savior is there. Hey, the truth that set us free from the penalty of sin, the truth that's setting us free from the very power of sin, the truth that's going to set us free one day from the very presence of sin, we're going to see our Savior. We're going to see the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. We're going to see our great God. And my friend, what a day that'll be. When my Jesus I shall see, I look upon his face. Boy, can you imagine that? looking at the face of Jesus, looking to the eyes of Christ, and we'll bow down our heads and we'll say, God, we're not worthy, but thou art. And take our crowns and cast them at the feet of Jesus. Well, it's going to be a wonderful day, isn't it? And I'm going to look around and I won't never see anything that reminds me of sin. I won't never see anything that reminds me of my past life. I won't never remember any time I took God's name in vain. I won't never remember any kind of beers we drunk. We won't ever remember any kind of drugs we took. We won't ever remember anything we sold. All them sins is gone. The power of sin is gone. The very presence of sin is gone. The memory of sin is gone. All my scars are going to be gone. All your scars will be gone. And we'll be in the presence with our Savior. We'll be in the very presence of Jesus forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. What does the truth bring? The truth brings forgiveness for those who need to be saved. The truth brings reality for us that are saved by God's grace. Now this ain't the end of it. We're just living a little part here until we make it there. And when we make it there, it's going to be all eternity with our Savior. Billy Kelly said we're on the little end of something great, great big old thing. We can't see the great big old thing, but we're on the little end of it. My friend, it gets better and better and better. You ever read the verse about the Bible said we're basking in the love of Christ? We're basking in God's goodness. You know what the word basking means? Y'all ladies ever cooked a pot roast and you put it in a slow cooker? You put that pot roast in there, you fill it with some water, and you cut them carrots up and you put them carrots in there. And you dice your onion, you put that onion in there. You might cut up you some potatoes after you peel them and put them in there. You put your salt and pepper on it, and you put the lid on it, and you put it on low because you're going to cook it all day on Saturday and all night on Saturday night, so it'll be ready on Sunday morning when you get home from church. All you have to do is just dig into it and slop it on some big old plate of white rice and just lap it up because it's so good. You know, when you start cooking it, that juice and that meat and onions and carrots and potatoes start popping and bubbling. That's all mixing together. That's all getting everything on each other. He said that's why basking in love of Jesus is. When we just come to Jesus and he comes to us, we're just basking. Well, it'd be good just to bask, wouldn't it? It'd be good just to collapse in the arms of Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm not going to take another step unless you carry me. Lord, I can't handle it. I know I'm saved. But this world's got too many great temptations for me. Father, help me to stay close by you. Help me to get under the shadow of the Almighty in my secret place so the Lord can protect us from sin. Let's pray together. Father, thank you, God, for a wonderful day. And Lord, I was so worried about my voice that I wouldn't be able to preach this morning. And God, thank you for helping me. And I pray, Father, will never let you down with what you've given me. Lord, I don't have much, but all that I have is yours. I thank you, God, for my body, for my mind, for my voice, to be able to use it for thy glory. And Father, we pray this morning, if one's not saved, oh, Father, would you please speak to their hearts this morning? They get saved by thy grace. Father, right now, I ask you, would you speak to their hearts? Before I close this prayer and give invitation, I want to ask you something. While you're sitting down, will there be one in this sanctuary this morning, be willing to lift your hand and say, Preacher, I need you to pray for me. I'm not saved. Preacher, you pray for me. I'm not saved. I need your prayers. Just by lifting your hand, I know what you're saying. I won't come to you. I won't call your name. All I want to do is pray for you. Be willing to lift your hand and say, Preacher, please pray for me. I'm not saved. Real quick, would you lift your hand so I can pray for you? That's all I want to do. I see that hand. God bless you. Is there another? Real quick, preacher, you pray for me. I'm not saved. I need your prayers. Father, we pray for those who's not saved in this church building this morning. That during the invitation time, they come and receive Christ as their Savior. And Father, for us that are saved by thy grace, but God, we're not living the Christian lives. Lord, we can be set free right now from the power of sin. The old devil, the old Satan, the old sin that he wants us to be engaged in. We don't have to do it. We don't have to give in. The Bible says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Father, we can have the victorious Christian life right now only as we trust in the truth. Father, I pray, oh God, you'll come back soon. Lord, it won't bother me if you'll come back today. Lord, it won't bother me if you'll come back before we even go home. Father, you'll come back right now and take those who are saved to be with you. Lord, it'll be a wonderful day. God, I pray you'll come back. Come back soon. Lord, we love you. We need you. In Christ Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. If you will, let's stand to our feet as the invitation start. We'll have our heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. You raise your hand because you know you're lost and you need to be saved. Won't you come and get that thing right this morning? You know you need to be saved, and I prayed for you. I done what I said I would do, and I'll still pray for you again tonight if you don't come down. But right now, won't you come and be set free from the penalty of sin? Won't you come and receive Christ as your Savior right now? You say, preacher, I'm trying to live the Christian life, but I can't. You can through Jesus. You can through Jesus. He'll help you. The Bible says this in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4. He is the rock. He is the rock. Not only is he the rock, but the Bible says his work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. Hey, my friend, he's the God of truth. That God of truth, one day, listen, beloved, one day the God of truth is going to come back and get us to be with him. If that day was today, are you ready to go? Are you ready to face Jesus in the situation you're in today? Are you ready to face Jesus with what is in your life today, my friend? Hey, he's given us opportunity, and he's given us another chance to get things right with him, to get things right on this side of eternity, so we won't have to regret them on that side of eternity. You say, Preacher Scott, you have no idea what's involved in my life. You have no idea what's in my life. Hey, I don't have to know, and I don't need to know. And be honest with you, I don't want to know, my friend, but I want you to know something. God knows all about it, and God has made a way for you to get forgiveness, for you to get cleansed, for you to be my friend, for you to be blameless in his eyes. Won't you come to Jesus? This morning, if you need to be saved, come to Jesus. If you know things ain't right in your life, you come to Jesus. Because he's coming for us. He's coming for us, beloved. I surrender all. I hope that's true in your life this morning. I'm not going to ask us to sing it because if we sing it, it needs to be true. I hope you can say this morning, I surrender all. All to Jesus I give. Father, thank you once again for your great love wherewith you loved us. Thank you, God, for the truth. You are the truth, and we have the truth. We have God's holy, inerrant, infallible, inspired word of God in our hands. And thank you for the truth of God that not only sets us free from the penalty of sin, I don't have to die to go to hell this morning. But God, I thank you also for the word of truth that sets me free from the power of sin. I don't have to listen to the devil this morning. I don't have to sin this morning. God, I can live for Jesus. And thank you, God, for the word of truth that tells us about the day that's coming in our lives when you'll come back and receive us unto yourselves. God, and then we'll be out of the very presence of sin. We don't have to be reminded of it anymore. What a wonderful place it is to be in heaven. God, I pray you continue to speak to our hearts and do what needs to be done.